lot of people remember you from your time on American Idol. How did that affect you going into your first album?
Well, you know, it definitely affects the fact that, you know, my album is coming out in the way it is coming out. But, I mean, if I look back on the last 5 years of my life, 2 years ago, there was Idol, and then the 3 years prior to that, I'd been writing. As far as in the timeline and in my creative process, it was a very small, you know, little window of time that was involved. Obviously, it had huge repercussions and a huge impact. In a way, it's real significant, you know, in the fact that I'm with a major label, and, you know, a lot of those things have affected, you know, the album. But as far as, like, creatively, it didn't have much of an impact.
Okay, speaking of creative, let's just describe your creative process. A lot of the songs on your upcoming album have a very autobiographical feel, a very, like, emotional feel to them. How do you write a song? How does that all come about for you?
Well, I like to think of it as let me see here. I never sit down and say, you know what, I'm gonna write. It isn't one of that. I don't like to write unless I really have something that's kind of weighing heavy in my heart, you know. So what I do is kind of every moment of every day, I'm kind of stockpiling ideas, stockpiling little ways to word things. I like to write piano music in the mornings when I wake up, you know, if I'm at home, and so. Then what I do is I kind of just put all these in the tool shed, you know, of my mind. And whenever that lyrical idea hits me over the head, the writing comes real easy because I've already taken all the legwork out, you know?
Absolutely.
So it's kind of like, once I sit down and I have that lyric, because I wouldn't call it laziness, but I definitely don't like to get frustrated while I'm writing, you know? I like to kind of have that roadmap already laid out. So when I sit down, the songs usually come quick like that.
Okay, you just mentioned earlier that you play the piano. Do you play any other instruments?
Yeah, I play guitar as well. And I used to play drums when I was young, but I wasn't very good at it, so I don't do that much anymore.
So what was your first real, introduction to music? Did someone come home one day and say, here, son, here's an instrument, go to town, or was it different?
No, you know, I grew up in church, and so it was very musical. It was very gospel, obviously. But it never really hit me over the head, the passion for it, until my mother and my father got a keyboard one Christmas Eve. I think I was 7 or 8 years old. And I think the most beautiful thing about it is that I wasn't pressured into it. Like, no one was, my parents were like, oh, we want you to take lessons or anything like that. They just brought this keyboard home, and I remember I was so enamored by it, you know, and I thought everybody was as enamored as I was. And so I woke up at like 4 a.m. the next morning and went to the living room because I thought there was going to be this big gold rush to the keyboard to play it. And apparently nobody else was as intrigued as I was, but it had, you know, it had the little thing that kind of taught you how to play the songs, and I just fell in love.
Hey, were there any songs that really, like, kind of caught your attention early on? Any musicians?
No, you know, there was no individuality to music for me as a kid. Even when I started playing piano, my parents were still very strict, and it was all very religious, you know, so I couldn't listen to secular music or anything like that. So my whole, you know, beginning in music was kind of in that mass kind of gospel thing. I never really discovered the individuality that you could put into it, you know, until I was 14 or 15 and I started listening to Coldplay and that goes about it and all that.
Okay. Let's see. So as far as, forming your influences, so you have the secular music, you have Coldplay and things like that, and you kind of have a little bit of a Howie Day sound to you, but it's more sophisticated because obviously it's not just, you know, it's not just a poppy, ballady sound. Like, when you're packaging yourself, when you're thinking, like, how you want to come off, what comes to mind with you? How do you want people to categorize you, or do you even want to be categorized at all?
I don't, and I can't. And, you know what, I've been asked that a lot recently, and I still haven't quite figured out how to answer things like that. You know, I think what I came up with the other day was, describing the music as wordy piano pop, or poetic piano pop, if you will. I don't know though. It's like I know that I can never explain myself with words, and that's the reason I make music. And so I would much rather somebody else give that description. You know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely. Let's see. Your album was produced in Los Angeles and in London, so you've done some traveling for this album. How's that feel?
Yes, sir. You know, it's been amazing. I definitely wish. You know, it really took me a year and a half after Idol to find my footing. You know, I think anyone who saw that, and I mean, even people that didn't see it, could kind of, you know, gather that a 19-year-old kid that I was not psychologically prepared for all the things that were about to happen. And so it really took me a year and a half to kind of find my footing. And, I mean, it's just amazing that I've had people around me that support me and have given me good advice and haven't given up on me, that I was able to learn through trial and error and get to where I can finally hone in on it, you know, where I am now. I definitely don't have anything figured out, but I feel like I'm to the point where I will not mess things up, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you said that process has kind of taken a year and a half, but it's kind of been like a process like that has started since Idol. I mean, because that's when you kind of like really put yourself out there.
You know, the year and a half is so essential, and by nature, I like to move, you know, I like things happening, and so I spent a lot of time on the road, and I did Idol, you know, and I thought I was ready, of course, what 18-year-old kid wouldn't, you know,
yeah.
And so it was just like, you know, full steam ahead, and then I got there, and I realized I was just, I didn't realize until recently that I was just nowhere near the right place that I needed to be, you know.
Absolutely, I mean, now, it's crazy because you said that you're 18, now you're only 21, you know, and you've got your first album coming out. Your single is just hitting the radio, and you've got a 2-month tour, almost 3-month tour, you know, across the United States, pretty much California to New York and back again.
Dude, it's a dream come true. I'm the luckiest guy on the face of the planet. There are people that still don't know what they want to do with their lives, and I can't take credit for knowing what I want to do. You know, it just hit me over the head. And on top of that, that somehow I've been steered to be able to do this, to be able to do exactly what I love, and that people care about it, and that I'm able to eat and put a roof over my head. Like, what? I'm not supposed to be able to say that in 20 words, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, is this kind of where you saw yourself? Let's just say hypothetically. I know this is a crazy question, but when you're 10, 11 years old, did you say to yourself, maybe 10 years from now, I'll be making music and people will be listening to me? Like, what were you thinking when you were a little kid as far as, like, music?
You know, when I was a little kid, there was none of that. Like, even when I started playing piano, it was all, like, cowboys and Indians, you know, cute girls in class. And I remember I turned 13 and I really started writing, and I wrote till I was about 14, and the songs were terrible. And I gave it up, and I started dating this girl. And then I started writing again, and that was the point. I was 15 or 16, and I said, you know what, if I'm going to do this, I thought to myself, I want to be there in 6 years. I want to be there in 7 years. In 10 years, this is where I want to be. On one hand, I would say that was the goal, but on the other hand, still, the fact that it's, you know, coming into play is absurdly amazing for me.
How did it feel to be signed to Warner Brothers? And especially, I mean, the person that signed you has signed people like Radiohead, Mark Cohn, Everclear. I mean, this is somebody that really knows
amazing.
Everything.
Yeah. He's like a father to me, you know. I think that the getting signed was amazing as a kid, obviously. And once I started really knowing this is what I wanted to do, that was the big dream. And, you know, that was probably one of the biggest mistakes I made going into this whole process. Was believing that getting signed is a victory of any sort. Like, it is on one hand, but on the other hand, backed off when I got signed. And probably the worst thing that could have happened to me at that moment in my life was things being made easier, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I feel like, I don't even think I'm there even now. I think there's a real level of maturity that has to be reached before you can accept things getting easier anyway, and it affects you positively. You know what I mean? I'm the kind of guy that I do good under pressure, and so a lot of that pressure went away when I got signed, and so it really it didn't do great things to my psyche.
Okay, so I mean, let's go, let's develop that a little bit more as far as after you get signed, the whole thing is you have to start producing. But at the same time, you did produce an album and it's getting ready to come out, so you've got to feel like you've kind of got a little bit of more of like that hunger back that you said that you were that you lost when you signed.
You know what? Absolutely, it has come back. And what happened was, I lost touch. I lost touch for about a year, and I kind of just lost touch of everything. The whole reason I was doing it in the first place, and you know, I spent last summer back at home in Tennessee, and at the end of that summer, I wrote the title track of the album called Come On Kid.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I re-fell in love with music, and from that point, you know, until now, and hopefully as long as I live, it's not about the label, it's not about anything but making music and loving music. And so we really had to rework the album because I'd given in and gone down some avenues that I don't think I should have because I wasn't doing it for the love of the music, you know. So we had to reproduce some things and kind of start from the beginning. And I can't lose my hunger because at this point I just love it. You know, if big things happen, that would be amazing. To me, big things are happening. You know, it's like I love what I do and I want to do it, you know, as long as I live.
So you feel like those changes that you've made to the album have made it a better one?
They were essential. They've made it my album, you know, not the label's album, not the people's album. Obviously, I hope people love it, but my only goal is to make a snapshot of myself and to give a portrait and to be as honest as I can be. And I feel like where I'm at right now, this album represents me.
Okay. As far as aside from the title track, the album, what's another song on there that you're incredibly proud of? I know, as a singer-songwriter, all of these songs are kind of like your babies. But if there's another one that you're really proud of, can you just tell us which one and why?
Well, you know, the album songs can be split into three categories for me. There are songs like Come On Kid and Chili Fly that are really kind of, to put in a really cheesy way, like self-help songs.
Uh-huh.
To put less easy, just like kind of conversations with myself. You know,
yeah.
And then you got those. You can put those in one pile, and then you got songs that are kind of love based, like Body and Mind, and To Run, that are come from that emotion. And then probably the ones that I feel like I connect to the most, because it's kind of probably the thing that weighs on me the most, are the last two songs, Joy and Happiness, and Song Without a Reason, which are just very personal and family rooted. You know, and, you know, Song Like Song Without a Reason, I feel like I completely can't take credit for it. I caught it in a net, you know?
Yeah.
I'm super proud of it because I feel like it's not mine. You know, I wrote it and I only tried to not mess it up in the studio. And so I feel like that's one of the purest recordings we have and the purest songs that I've written. And so when I listen to it, I can almost disconnect myself from being the writer and just really feel the emotions of it.
As far as your tour goes, I mean, you're playing everywhere from California, but you're also you're playing in New York on August 5th, New York City. I mean, that's pretty big. How do you feel about that?
Oh, it's huge. You know, that was one of my dream places to play when I was a kid, and even in the past 2 years, I think I've only played there once. And so I'm really looking forward to it.
Have you ever played in the Rockwood before?
I didn't play at the Rockwood, no. I don't recall the name of the place I called, but I know that it was booked last minute, so there wasn't time to really promote it or get the word out, and then we've got some good lead-in time for this one. So, you know, that city is, it's beautiful. You know, there's something very unique about it, and the emotions that I get in that city are very unique to there.
Okay, is there anything else that you want to say about your album or your music or yourself that you think the fans would connect to?
No, man, I think that I really do feel like I'm the luckiest man who won't be doing this, you know, and I can't promise that everyone will be going to love everything, but I'm just a kid trying to do the best I can, you know?